Well, normally at this time, I say we get our view from the north, but everybody is down here in the south. Excuse me. Yeah, it's Final Four time, Ducks and Heels, and we know this could be a bit personal for our guest, whose work you can find for Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com. He's talking ball, he's talking Ducks. Follow along on Twitter, use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you doing in the desert?
I'm doing well, man. I just left the North Carolina locker room, stole me some shoes and out. Couple of uniforms. They might be short uniforms on Saturday because I got me like three or four.
So, kill me. So obviously, we know you're a Michael Jordan guy forever, and I know you've got a fair share of Carolina teal in the Fenders household. I was wondering, I mean, are you leaning, hey, look, the team I cover is in the Final Four, and it's got to be against the Tar Heels, or are you like, the team I cover is in the Final Four, and hell yeah, it's against the Tar Heels?
Well, hell yeah, because I get an all-expenses-paid trip to watch my favorite team play basketball. I mean, you can't beat that. The only thing better, I guess, would be going to the Super Bowl if the Bears were there. Or maybe the World Series of the Cubs are there. But no, this is perfect. I couldn't have asked for a better situation.
I had a feeling that was going to be your answer. you know, we've had you on for a lot of years. And as, you know, on your job, you've got to check off some biggies on the bucket list. Rose Bowl, Super Bowl, couple of natties. But the Final Four, first in program history, you know, since World War II. So mixing in that kind of fan/professional journalist, how high up the list is this for you personally?
This is the second Final Four I've covered. Obviously, the first one I've covered with North Carolina. North Carolina just missed the 07 Final Four that I covered when I was covering the Pac-12, so I followed UCLA all the way there. That was the year that Florida beat Ohio State and Greg Oden.
Yep.
So, and Carolina lost to Georgetown in the Elite Eight. I was so bent. Couldn't believe they choked away the game, too. You know, I mean, I like college basketball, but I don't like it as much as I used to back in the day. Like, you and I remember back in the day when college basketball was college basketball. And like, Pat Ewing played 4 years, Jordan played three, Samson played four, Mo and all that. You know, those rivalries build up with some of the greatest players ever in the NBA and in college basketball. So I remember those days. So this is kind of watered down college basketball to me compared to that. So I wouldn't put the Final Four anywhere near the Super Bowl or even the college football national title. But it's still awesome. I'm not going to say it's not cool. But for me, I think the two things one thing I haven't covered and probably will never get to cover unless the Mariners are any good or if I change markets would be the World Series. I think that would probably rank higher than this. But this is definitely something that's awesome, no doubt.
Nice. Talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. I saw you and Bree Amaranthus had a discussion. You posted it on Twitter. And it's interesting because, obviously, look, this is a football town. We always hear people joking, well, it's a track school now. It's a basketball school. And you kind of hit on the misery of blowing the Alamo Bowl, 4-8 season, firing the coach. So, from the fans you hear from or colleagues, does this great basketball run make up for, you know, this noticeable dip in their beloved football program?
Yeah, it depends. I guess the because here's the thing about it. Football, Oregon definitely has a stronger football fan base. We know this from the attendance for basketball. Those of us in the media know from the web clicks we get for basketball versus the TV ratings we get for basketball. It's way lower than football. There's just no doubt about that. It's always been that way. It's probably always going to be that way, unless the football team goes 4-8 for the next 10 years and the basketball team goes to the Final Four every other year. That's just not going to change. So for a lot of the hardcore Oregon sports fans, no, it doesn't make up for it. It's like, no, we'd rather football team had been good. But I think for most people who have any type of sense to them or any kind of balance in their life, you recognize that you can't have it all. And if I would have told you at the beginning of football season, okay, the football team's going to go 4-8, but you're going to go to the Final Four in basketball, I would think that most rational fans would take that, as opposed to going 9-3 in football and going to a second-rate bowl game and having the basketball teams, you know, flame out of the Sweet 16. So I definitely think this is a monumental. I mean, this is something that's never happened in any of our lifetime. Last time it happened was 1939. I mean, geez, you know, that was back when we only had 8 teams in the tournament. I think it wasn't even really the Final Four. So technically, when people say this is the second time Oregon's been to the Final Four, that's not true because there was no such thing as the Final Four. If I've read that correctly, it was just two semifinals played far apart from each other. So this is definitely a monumental thing. And I think if you're an Oregon fan, I mean, this definitely should erase what went down at the football team.
By the way, in case you're on Sports Jeopardy, the first time they had 4 separate sites where the winners all met at one site, 1952. I looked that 52? Up because I've been saying that all week long. Yeah, 1952.
Has it been that way ever since?
They didn't call it the Final Four really till 1975, but the regional way we know it, with 4 regions, 1 winner each, they all meet at one site to play for the title. That's been going on since 52. So yeah, in 1939 there was an East and the West, and they met in Evanston.
Gotcha. Well,
all right,
and that's basically you can call it the Final Four retroactively, which is what they did with the Super Bowl, right? Wasn't the first 2 Super Bowls not called the Super Bowl? When they called the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, to some people it was just an exhibition. Because as far as Lombardi was concerned, they were the NFL champs, and who cared about anything else? All right, now that we got that straightened out, let's get to Kansas. I mean, that team had run roughshod. They won their first 3 games by 90 points. So heading into, and of course, Oregon had slipped past Rhode Island and Michigan. So heading into last Saturday, considering where the game was, how much of a shot did you give Oregon? And what was your level of surprise of, let's face it, Oregon kind of whipped them?
I have not believed that Oregon was going to make the Final Four or win the national title without Boucher since he went down. I just thought they lacked the depth, lacked the height, and just going to be missing so much with losing him. So, and the fact that they almost lost to Michigan, almost lost to Rhode Island, I thought for sure the Kansas, who was just destroying everybody, was going to, you know, win by 10. You know, and plus it was pretty much a home game for Kansas. But it was clear, like 10 minutes into the game, it was like, I can't remember at what point, but it was sometime early when it was clear that Oregon came to play. I kind of leaned over to Bree and I said, "We're going to Phoenix." Like, this is just, there's something going on here. They look like they do not care about where they are, who they're facing. They're taking it right to Kansas. Kansas looked rattled. Jordan Bell was just swatting stuff all over the place, and that was having an impact on other shots. That was an amazing showing. I still think if they played that game 10 times, I think Kansas wins most of them. I think Kansas is probably more talented, but Oregon just was on that night, and they just took Kansas out of their game.
Talking Final Four with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet. You just mentioned Bell, and, you know, he was terrific against Michigan, and 8 blocks in the Kansas game, 7 offensive rebounds. But you kind of alluded to it. Early on, he made a couple of blocks. And would I be accurate in saying, man, he had those guys hearing footsteps when they went in the lane?
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. It was clear because they got some looks later on in the game where inside the paint where it was clear they were flicking it up really quickly or like being very delicate with it and looking around for him because he's a great, you know, you're not going to really attack him. You're going to attack away from him, but he comes over and helps so often. The Carolina guys are talking about that today. Kennedy Meeks is talking about how good of a job Bell does coming from the weak side and just helping out someone and just swatting your stuff. And you think you got your guy beat, which you do, and you go up for the shot, and then all of a sudden Bell comes and helps out and erases your shot. And once that happened early, he established that Kansas was definitely looking for him. And he got into Landon Lucas's head right at the tip-off. Like, he swatted the shot early. He was in his face early. And Lucas just knew that he just athletically could not deal with Jordan Bell.
And of course, more importantly, have you seen the things Jordan Bell could block hashtag?
Yes, I have. Those are hilarious. I love the Titanic one. The Titanic was sinking.
Blocking the iceberg. Unbelievable. A couple of final thoughts for Aaron Fentress. You know, I said this week, this is a different matchup for Oregon. You think of the best Roy Williams teams, it's usually more athletes, up-tempo, trying to keep up. They're a bit of a different animal. So about what you've observed, what the guys have had to say, how concerned should Oregon be with this North Carolina team that's just so strong and they get the ball inside and they're just so tenacious on the glass?
Yeah, you know, Dana Altman said that it's a huge matchup problem for them because they just lack the size to match up with Carolina's size. Carolina has five guys 6'8 or better. They have two guys 6'10. Oregon has two guys 6'8 or better in Bell and then Bigby Williams, who just really doesn't give them that much right now. I don't think Carolina's going to be worried about him at all. And Roy Williams said they're going to start two big guys. They're going to do what they do, try and dominate the glass, get those extra shots, prevent extra shots for Oregon. Now, the downside to that, Roy Williams talked about this just a little bit ago, is that, you know, Dylan Brooks plays at the four, which is a small guy that a big guy's going to have to guard, and that creates a problem. And Oregon hopes they can take advantage of that and be able to use their quickness and speed to get Brooks looks and other guys' looks and take advantage of their quickness. But Carolina likes to run. I mean, they're not a team that can't run. If Joel Berry's able to go, which Roy Williams made it sound like today, still is iffy. I mean, I think he's going to play. But with him, and then you got Jackson and Pinson and guys who can get out and run who are 6'6", 6'8". We're going to be way bigger than Oregon's three-guard lineup, even in the running game and on defense on the perimeter. It's going to be a tough matchup all the way around for Oregon. They're going to have to shoot lights out again and really get their fast break going and get a lot of, and try their best to get as many second-chance points they can, which is going to be very difficult because they only have one guy inside who can match up rebounding-wise with Carolina's bigs.
Let's wrap with this. Like I mentioned earlier, in the history of the program before Dana Altman arrived, Oregon won 12 NCAA tournament games. In the last 5 years, they won 11. You know, you look at certain sports differently. It seems like in pro sports or college football, you need a national championship. So here, how much does just making a Final Four kind of enhance the reputation of a guy like Altman or Mark Few, regardless of if they win it all or make the final, from your chair?
Oh, I think it definitely validates everything they've been trying to do with those two programs, programs that haven't quite, you know, gotten through to this round. I mean, Oregon, you know, this is Oregon's fourth Elite Eight. They'd failed three times to break through to the Final Four. They finally got there. I think it definitely raises your profile nationally, gives you a little bit more juice. But we've also seen in the past where teams have broken through and you think, oh, my God, this team now is a national power, and then they disappear and they don't make it back forever. You know what I mean? I mean, that happens a lot, too. So there's no guarantee Oregon's going to get back in the next 10 years. We have no idea what's going to happen, but it definitely gives them a little bit a higher status, higher ranking nationally in the fact that they've been here. Because the national media's here. The national media's here. They're getting here. They're getting to know Oregon. They're getting to know Gonzaga. And they're not going to forget that they covered these coaches and the teams they had, and that'll resonate for a while.
All right. Hey, great takes as always. Are you making it over to the media gala a little bit later on?
I may try to. That's at Wrigley Mansion or something?
Yeah, I'm just going to plug it into my GPS on my phone and make it over there later. I was just saying, I know I'll run into you Saturday, but I was hoping maybe I'd catch up with you tonight.
Yeah, I might be able to make it over there. I got a bunch of stuff to get done here today, but yeah, I'll probably have some fun tonight.
All right, it's enough with the work, Ventress. I'll see you later. Thanks for joining us.
All right, take care, bye.
Take it easy. Catch up with AFCSNNW.com on Twitter. The handle is at Aaron J. Ventress. It's interesting because when certain coaches or programs accomplish certain things, you wonder, is this the beginning? Is this something you should revel in the moment? I guess you should always revel in it in the moment.